Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or, to adapt it to the words of the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the Christians at Ephesus, to the saints and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Thank God for what we have today in Him, our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the language of the Apostle Peter, unto you who believe, He is precious. Will you join me in prayer? Eternal God and Master, we bow today in your presence, having come before you through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For, Father, it's through Him alone that we have access into your most holy presence, even through His precious blood poured forth at Calvary. We thank you, our God, that He did die, that He was resurrected, that He ascended, and that we have your promise that He will soon return for us. And we say in the language of John, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Father, till that time come, may we who are Christians be found faithful in presenting the good news to a lost, needy, dying, helpless world. And may some listening today, even, Father, this very day, turn from their sin. Turn, Father, to Christ the Savior and be born again by the Spirit of the living God as they in faith trust Him, the Christ of the living God, in whose name we ask it, giving you our thanks. Amen. This morning we will be studying from Lesson 2 of the Correspondence Course, Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. So those of you who have the course, get the book, your Bible, and let's study together as we continue the subject of the seven dispensations. A very quick word to any listening who would like to join with us. We're only in Lesson 2, and the announcer will give you the details how you can obtain one of these books. If you'll listen to the announcements at the close of the broadcast. Now, last week, we began considering the seven dispensations, and we found that the Word of God refers to these dispensations in Ephesians 3 and 2, and they are simply unequal periods of time in which our God has dealt with man in different ways. God is unchangeable. He's eternal. He changeth not, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and yet He has chosen, through His wisdom, His sovereignty, His mercy and grace, to deal in different periods of time with men and to use different methods, different means of approach. And we saw that man was first dealt with as man innocent. But this period of time, this manner of God's dealings with man, this dispensation, if you will, ended in judgment. For man made the wrong choice. He chose to disobey Almighty God, just as you and I have done on so many occasions. And God closed this period of dealing with man with the judgment of driving him forth from that garden paradise. Man then fell under a dispensation or a period of time of man being under his own conscience. God speaking to him, God dealing with him, and yet man again disobeyed. Man rebelled. Man followed after the ways of the world. And this period of time, this dispensation was dealt with by God when He judged the world with the great flood. Only Noah and his family were survivors of that great judgment that God poured forth upon those who rejected His word, refused to hear Him and to obey His word. Then we find man in authority over the earth. And this time, man again rebelled. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every way to our own way. And when man does this, God must deal with him. God offers mercy. God has always offered grace and forgiveness. But man has been prone to neglect it and to reject it, to refuse it, to go the other way. And this little period of time in the Old Testament history ended in a different type of judgment. God dealt with man because of his sin, because of his responsibility to God, and he brought in the confusion of tongues, and man once again judged by God. Then man came under promise. And in this particular time, God raised up a man by the name of Abram, and later changed his name to Abraham. God gave him some promises that were unconditional. Many of them have been fulfilled. A few remain yet to be fulfilled. And the God who gave them is the God capable of fulfilling these future promises. God also gave Abraham some conditional promises. You do thus and so, and I'll do thus and so. Man again, because of his sinful nature, received from the great forefather Adam, this man passed this fallen nature right on down to Abraham and even to us today. And Abraham's descendants disobeyed God. And the book of Genesis, which opens with the words, "In the beginning, God," closes with a coughing in Egypt. God dealt judgment to the Israelites, and we find them in the book of Exodus under slavery, under foreign rule. Well, God again began to deal with man, and he raised up another man, a man by the name of Moses. And through Moses, God gave the law. Now, we call it the law of Moses, but actually it's the law that God gave through Moses to the nation of Israel. Now, let me just read a couple of verses about this law. First, from Galatians 3 and verse 10. "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written," listen carefully, "cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, for it is written, the just shall live by faith." The law was not given to save man. The law was not given to make man holy, righteous, or acceptable to God. Oh, then you say, why was it given? The law was given to show us that we are sinners by nature, by choice, and by practice. We read again from the book of Galatians, this time from the 4th chapter. "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster." Pardon me, that's still the 3rd chapter, verse 24. "The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." You see, the law was given to show us that we're sinners and that we need a Savior. When your child is sick, you put the thermometer into their mouth, and then you look at the thermometer and you say, "Why, they have 102 degrees of fever." Certainly, you don't turn around and say, "Now chew up the thermometer and you'll get well." Ridiculous. The thermometer is used to show you the degree of fever, the degree of temperature that the child has. And then you call the doctor or you use some medication to see that the fever is lowered. But the thermometer doesn't cure the child. The thermometer shows you the degree of sickness. And that's what the law does. The law doesn't cure us. The law doesn't cleanse us. The law doesn't make us holy. The law doesn't forgive us. The law lets us see that we're sinners by nature, by choice, and by practice, I repeat. Another illustration. Your child comes in from play. He's dirty. He said, "I go in and wash up." He goes in and perhaps makes an attempt at it, and enough to say he did it, and comes back. "Did you wash your face?" "Yes." "Go look in the mirror." So he goes back and he looks in the mirror. And the mirror shows the smudge and the dirt and all the filth. The mirror doesn't cleanse that boy. It takes some soap and some water. It takes a washcloth. What did the mirror do? Was it any good? Oh, yes, it showed him that Mom was right. It showed him there was dirt, there was a smudge, there was some grease. He needed to wash his face. It takes the soap and the water and the washcloth to get the dirt off. And just so, friend of mine, the law cannot save you. The law cannot redeem you. The law cannot make you fit for God's heaven. The law was given as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses away the dirt that the law shows. The law, like the mirror, reveals the dirt. But it's the blood of Jesus Christ applied by faith that'll cleanse you and make you whole make you fit for God's presence. Well, this dispensation also ended in judgment. It ended in the judgment of Calvary's cross. For we read in that same book of Galatians that the Lord Jesus was made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Yes, this dispensation ended in a horrible judgment. The judgment of Calvary. The judgment where God the Son bore our sin in his own body on the tree. The wrath of a holy sin-hating God fell forth upon him. And that brings us to the sixth dispensation, the sixth period of a different type of God dealing with man. Of course, let me reemphasize that from Adam till today, man has always and only been saved by the grace of God. Never has there been one single individual that deserved to go to heaven. All men are sinners by nature, and all men must experience the redemptive work of Calvary's cross. And the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ introduced the dispensation of pure, unadulterated grace, which means undeserved favor or God giving righteousness instead of God requiring righteousness as under the law. Salvation, perfect and eternal, is now freely offered to Jew and Gentile upon the acknowledgement of sin or repentance with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. We read that in John 6:29. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Oh, blessed God, friend of mine, you can be saved and you can know that you possess eternal life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life and shall not come into judgment, shall not go to hell, shall not be condemned, but has passed from death unto life. John 5:24. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. John 10:27-28. And from Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast or glory. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Listen carefully, friends. You don't get saved by doing good works. You get saved by the grace of God through the work the Lord Jesus did on the cross. But, oh, bless God, once he has saved you by his grace, then he wants you to work for him out of appreciation. Not to be saved or to keep saved, but because he has saved you. And once he's saved you, friend of mine, he adds you by his Holy Spirit into his church, his body. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And soon he's coming back. He's going to take this church out. He's going to take out that which belongs to him. The redeemed ones, the saints, the Christians, not the church members, not religious people, but those who are truly saved. And he's going to close this dispensation in that horrible time, that great judgment called the Great Tribulation. Our time is gone. Lord willing, we'll speak on the Great Tribulation and the millennial reign of Christ next week. But should the Lord Jesus come before next week, I, along with all true Christians, by the grace of God, will be gone with him and like him. And if you're here outside of Christ, you'll be experiencing the throes of the great judgment, the great tribulation. Why don't you today flee to Christ, trust him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll give you eternal life. He'll do it today for his name's sake. Amen.